The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder if this country is going to turn back to God or crumble from within due to the force-fed lies which spread anarchy. From arson to gunshots to threats, ICE offices in city after city are facing danger. Here are quotations from some shouted protests at one ICE director's direction. "We know where all your children live." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that nice? "We know where all your children live." These are the people always giving us lectures on not being violent. "We know where all your children live throughout the country, John Bolfin. You have kids in bleep." Now, there's going to be a lot of bleeps here. I'm reading from the transcript. It was bleeped out on Fox News. "You have kids in bleep. We know everything about you, and you won't just be seeing us here." Here's another wonderful quote. "We know where you sleep at night. We know what kind of dog food you buy for your dogs." Here's another one. "We're not actually joking, John Bolfin. You go to bleep. You go to church on bleep. You live on bleep road. We are not joking." No surprises for any of this, in as much as people such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are comparing ICE detention centers to Nazi concentration camps. Inspirational words indeed. How long will it be before the same Democrats who offer self-righteous, sanctimonious lectures about toning down the rhetoric and holding inciting words responsible for the El Paso shooting be consistent enough to blame her? For the record, I'm a conservative and I do not blame her. While I believe her rhetoric is certainly irresponsible, while I know it betrays sickening disinformation with ignorance matched only by arrogance, the violent people who threaten or carry out threats are themselves responsible, despite the possibility of having been influenced. But if you're waiting for our Democrat politicians to show similar consistency, I wouldn't hold your breath. They're too busy for consistency. They're preoccupied with slamming American history and replacing American values with socialism and moral relativism. Not that America is the only country to receive historical revision. Israel was also in the news this week. Poor Israel is always in the news. The Israeli government has come under almost universal condemnation from the Democratic Party for refusing to admit into their country Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. The nerve! Not allowing two avid anti-Semites who hate Israel to come into Israel and promote the BDS movement. That movement, incidentally, stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction of Israel. I'm reading from Fox News. Netanyahu said their travel plans referred to a trip to Palestine, quote unquote, not Israel, and the congresswomen were not interested in meeting with Israeli officials. He went on to note that the Palestinian organization that planned the visit, MIFTA, supports the boycott movement, and that people associated with the group have supported terror against Israel in the past. Democrats are saying this is a mistake because Israel is denying entry to two U.S. congresswomen. Yes, they are congresswomen. They did get elected to the United States Congress. But ladies and gentlemen, that is our problem, not Israel's. If the voters of New York and Minnesota have chosen to disgrace themselves, there is no reason in the world why Israel should have to cater to it. After being denied admission initially, Talib asks if she can at least visit her grandmother, living in the Palestinian sector. She promised she would do nothing else, cause no trouble for Israel. So the Israeli government on this point agreed, and then Talib changed her mind. Obviously, her original agenda was her true agenda, not granny. This organization, BDS, actually does not recognize Israel's right to exist. Two of our congresswomen working with an organization that does not recognize Israel's right to exist. Are you aware of this? Does anyone know this? No, they won't all admit it, but they are supported by terrorist organizations that want to physically destroy Israel, wipe it off the map. And BDS founder Omar Barghadi was not shy at all about the reason for forming his organization. He said, and I quote, "No Palestinian will ever accept a Jewish state in Palestine." Palestine, according to Israel's enemies, is not the West Bank, but the entire land of Israel. All of it. Every single inch inhabited by Jews. They are not truly interested in a two-state solution, but we've known this for years if we've been paying attention to history. The United Nations offered a two-state solution in 1947. The Jews agreed. The Arabs did not. Yes, I said Arabs. Back in those days, the dispute over the land was between Jews and Arabs. These Arabs did not refer to themselves as Palestinians at that time. The term Palestinian as a designation for the Arab inhabitants of the Holy Land was not used until the 1960s, long, long after many surrounding nations had tried unsuccessfully to liquidate Israel. It is a lie that a group of indigenous people called Palestinians inhabited this land for thousands of years until the 20th century when Jews came from Europe and threw them out. Palestine is a Latinized version of the name Philistine, an extinct enemy of the Jews. Emperor Hadrian, after crushing Israel early in the 2nd century, renamed Israel Palestine as an insult to the Jews. This nickname remained for about 2,000 years. Arabs did not come into the land until after the birth and spread of Islam in the 600s. And once again, these Arabs called themselves Arabs until Yasser Arafat in the 1960s realized that a military victory against Israel was impossible and launched a PR campaign instead, creating the downright lie that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land, basically inventing the myth of the indigenous Palestinians. This is a subject I occasionally review with detail on my program. Time does not permit such an elaboration today, but I did broadcast a series of 6 radio shows on this important topic back in the year 2017. All 6 programs can still be downloaded or streamed off of my website at bobsiegel.net. I also wrote a book, which you can easily find on Amazon, The Holocaust Against Israel. But while Israel's greatest danger comes from other countries who want to attack and destroy her, America's greatest danger comes from actual American citizens, politicians who are slowly but surely eroding our First Amendment. In that vein, wait till you hear the latest from Sacramento. A special guest will be joining us to tell you all about it when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
Some more beautiful.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Let me introduce my special guest. Greg Burt is a communications, media, and government policy specialist with over 21 years of experience in public relations, marketing, journalism, public affairs, grassroots activism, and legislative advocacy. He has worked as an award-winning investigative reporter, run government offices in Colorado, worked for former California Senator Mimi Walters and served Senator Shannon Grove as her press secretary for several years when she was in the Assembly. Greg is now the director of capital engagement for the California Family Council, acting as a watchdog over the state legislature on issues related to religious liberty, parental rights, the value of human life from conception to natural death, and the biblical definition of family and gender. He has a BA in communications from the University of the Nations and two MA degrees, one in public policy and the other in journalism from Regent University. Greg Burt, welcome to our program.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Bob.
It's a pleasure. Well, it's an honor to have you. Now, how long have you been with the California Family Council? That's quite an impressive resume you have. How long have you been in your current position?
It's about 3 years now. 3 years.
Okay, now how would you paraphrase the mission statement of California Family Council? What exactly do they exist for?
Well, our mission statement says we are there advancing God's design for life, family, and liberty, and that is my goal up at the state capitol. So I'm the state capitol guy, and I am watching legislation. I am advocating for biblical views on all those issues, and when things come up, I make let the world know about it and organize opposition and help our message get out there.
How successful would you say they have been? What kinds of hideous legislation from Sacramento have they curtailed so far?
Well, last year we actually had an unbelievable victory. The LGBT caucus chairman, Assemblyman Evan Lowe, had introduced a bill that was directed at churches and counselors, and it was going to say, and it said, that advertising or offering to engage in or engaging in sexual orientation change efforts in any way was going to be considered consumer fraud. That's either you're doing counseling, you're having a conference, you're selling materials. Anything that involved a fee was going to get you sued under the consumer fraud law. And we gathered together a large coalition of folks to oppose this, including lots of people who actually received help themselves to leave LGBT identities. And we had a big group come up, give their testimonies on the state capitol, and then went inside and just testified that, you know, this type of counseling, this type of help from my own church saved me. And how are we going to make that illegal? That's a great violation of their rights. And a lot of pastors stood up and pushed back. And at the very last moment of the last day of the session, even after it passed through the House and the Senate, it had one more vote before the assembly, and the author pulled the bill, and he said, "You know what? I'm gonna pull the bill for now because I need to get more support from the evangelical community."
Was this before the midterms? Do you think was it before the midterm elections that they pulled that bill?
You know, that might have something to do about it. I don't know, but. I think what started happening is even minority community pastors in mass started uniting with other pastors, and I think they realized they were stirring up a hornet's nest. And so this resolution I'm going to talk about today is actually the alternative.
This is an attempt to bring that same bill back, isn't it?
It is, and this bill is specifically targeting pastors, counselors, Christian schools, and more or less telling them the same thing. It's more or less now we're trying to scare them into silence.
Now, is it identical to the other bill, and if not, what are the differences between this one? This one's called ACR 99, correct?
That's right. Now, ACR means Assembly Concurrent Resolution, so it's a resolution. It doesn't have the force of law, but it is a statement by both the Assembly and the Senate. It declares to pastors and Christians that you should not be counseling people that there is anything wrong with being a lesbian or gay or transsexual, and stop telling people that they can change. And it also declares that kind of counseling, that kind of help, that kind of the gospel that you are offering folks to leave these lifestyles, that message is actually causing people to kill themselves. So the bill actually states as a fact that Christian beliefs are causing people to commit suicide. And so it's more or less the state telling the church, "Hey, we don't like your beliefs. You need to stop doing this."
So now the previous one was going to be an actual law, but this one is only a resolution. Is that one of the differences?
That's one of the differences. That's right.
Now,
let me explain to you.
Go ahead.
Assemblyman Lowe explained what he was doing, because he got a lot of flack for pulling the bill last year from the LGBT community. They were really upset with him. But here's what he said. He says, "My intent," and I'm quoting from the Desert Sun, he says, "My intent is still to stamp out conversion therapy, but to do it in a more deliberate fashion, enlisting the support of evangelical and faith leaders. There are those in the LGBTQ community that say we shouldn't compromise, but I think this is the best approach to changing hearts and minds." So what is it he's doing now? He realizes it might be better to get a bunch of Christians on his side before he outlaws conversion therapy. That's his future intent. But he knows he can't take on the church if they stand up and oppose him.
So right now it would be a resolution, but the idea and your concern is that should this resolution pass, they'll come back and make it an actual law next time.
Absolutely. What you're doing with the resolution, you're establishing facts, right? You're saying here is the truth. Here's what the government says is true, and this is what happens many times when they start pushing an idea, and they don't think that they get a law passed. They'll first push a resolution first, right, to get the idea out there, to get people conditioned to it, and then once they got a significant chunk of the population to believe it, then they'll come back with a law. And if you look around the country, there are all kinds of states and cities banning what they're calling conversion therapy. And you really have, conversion therapy is kind of a slander towards any type of method that anyone would use to change someone's sexual orientation or even their behavior away from an LGBT identity, or if somebody's gender confused and they think they're trapped in the wrong body and they're thinking about transitioning to a new gender. Any kind of help to help people accept their own bodies and to accept the fact that they are what their biology tells them they are, all that kind of help would be outlawed. And if you just Google search conversion therapy, and it's happening around the country, even all over Canada as well. So it's a nationwide push. But you got to sit down and figure out, what do they mean by conversion therapy? And the bill defines it specifically, and the resolution says, practices or therapies that attempt to create a change in a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. And we're talking about counseling people want, right? We're talking about people that aren't happy in living as a lesbian, living as transgender, and they want help. Well, they can, more or less the state is now telling them, you cannot get help. The only thing you can do is embrace what your feelings are telling you. It's an unbelievable invasion of people's personal, their own personal pursuit of how they want to be happy. It's such personal invasion of people's privacy.
Now, I agree with you that they'll come back and make it a law next time, because I don't think anything is ever enough for the militant left. But at the moment, if this passed as a resolution, what kind of teeth would it have? Is it just a statement, or would it somehow put out a green light to litigation? Could there be criminal liability? What would the resolution, do? Okay.
If it's just a resolution, it's simply a statement of fact, right? It's a shot across the bow. And here's what I always see happen at the Capitol. They have trial, a trial balloon is like, we got this crazy idea. We don't even know exactly how the public's going to react. Let's introduce a bill and just see what kind of opposition we get. And when there's no opposition, they go, "Oh, right, we're going to do this, and we're going to do a more extreme bill the next year." That's what these resolutions are for. They're like trial balloons. They see, is anybody reacting? We have a tradition in this country where the state doesn't dictate to religious groups what they can and can't believe, right? I mean, it's from the founding.
Well, exactly. There's no respect at all for our First Amendment. Would you hold with me, Greg, over the break? We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. We're here with Greg Burt of the California Family Council. We're talking about ACR 99, which is a resolution which came out after a failed attempt for a bill. And so the stated purpose of this, Greg, is to be against reparative therapy. Do you think there's a hidden purpose to boil the frog slowly and eventually shut down freedom of speech? I know pastors, for instance, who are evangelical pastors who actually don't believe in reparative therapy. They do believe homosexuality is a sin. They do believe a person should repent of it, but they don't believe they could reprogram someone. They still want the freedom to call it as the Bible calls it, though. Is this going to eventually shut down free speech altogether? Is that the real agenda?
Yeah, it directly says that pastors, counselors that stigmatize LGBT identities are causing folks to commit suicide.
So even if a pastor just mentions this as a sin at the pulpit, and by the way, folks, as Christians, we believe all of us are guilty of sins. The Bible doesn't call this any more or less sinful than anything else. The Bible does not teach that God hates gay people. However, the Bible still says what it says, and we do have a First Amendment. We should be free to talk about it.
Yeah, I look at the resolution. It says, whereas the stigma associated with being LGBTQ, often created by groups in society, including therapists and religious groups, has caused disproportionately high rates of suicide, attempted suicide, depression, rejection, and isolation among LGBT and questioning individuals. And the state has a compelling interest in protecting the physical and psychological well-being of minors. Do you see where we're going here?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's saying, okay, you're saying something is wrong with who I am, right? There's nothing wrong with me, and every time you Christians say something is not good about an LGBT identity or behavior, you are threatening my psychological well-being, and the state has the right to come and protect me.
You know, it's interesting because there's no group in the United States more vilified these days than evangelical Christians. The left makes all kinds of statements about them. So what if a Christian felt that their self-esteem was attacked, that they felt suicidal over this? I doubt that there would be much consistency on that.
No, that's true. I mean, there's really no consideration for, what it makes Christians. This kind of stuff crushes Christians, right? Because we are preaching a gospel of grace and love and hope, right? And this, we're preaching hope in a changed life that's good for you. And now we got the state telling us, no, your message is bad. Stop telling people that anything's wrong, that they have to repent or change. And if you keep doing that, you are going to be responsible for people committing suicide. And when you tell people that, that shuts pastors up.
Right? Yeah, it absolutely does.
That shuts Christians up. That says, stop talking about what the Bible says about homosexuality. Stop talking about what the Bible says about gender, that there's only two genders. Stop telling people that, if your biology tells you what gender you are. Stop. People should have the right to decide. And when somebody comes and tells you, they're obviously a man, but they say that they're a woman. The only response from Christians should be, well, we will love you by telling you you're a woman. That's what love is.
And, you know,
if we say insist he's a man, we are now encouraging, we are the cause of his high suicide attempts.
And I do meet Christians who get their guilt buttons pushed by this, who feel like that we have to affirm somebody's lifestyle in order to love them. They've never learned the difference between tough love and compromise.
No, exactly. I mean, and this is what Jesus was great at, right? I mean, he would spend his time with sinners, right? The rejects of society. But he said, you know, and the people would question, why are you going out there and spending your time with sinners? He goes, well, you know, because they need help to change. I'm here, I'm a doctor wanting to help them, right? You know, I'm not going out there to help going to people who don't need to be changed. And so that his job, his desire was to love them, to change them, not to love them and encourage them to live in their sin, right?
Right. Well, even when he rescued the woman who had been caught in adultery, and he was very tender with her, when the crowd left after he said to them, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, he did say to her, go and sin no more.
That's right. He wasn't trying to say prostitution's great.
Yeah, exactly. Right? In order for me to be loving, I have to affirm your lifestyle.
That's right. That's right. I mean, and so and that's why when we brought people to the Capitol, we brought people who used to be transgender, or they used to be homosexual, and now they had found freedom, and they were happy, and they were married, and they had kids, you know, and they just wanted to live according to their faith. I mean, how can they claim these people are hateful, right? I mean, right?
It's crazy. And where would this stop? I mean, people are being told now that if a little kindergartner feels like he's a girl and he's really a boy, that the teacher has to go along with it. Eventually, they'll make the parents are expected to go along with that.
Well, it's already happened in Canada. There's a case in Canada where a father, his daughter has decided she's, you know, really a boy, and he is refusing to, you know, go along and call her male pronouns and say that she is a boy. And a judge has said that is family violence.
What a nightmare. Boy, if we want to look into our future, all we have to do is look at Canada and Europe.
They're just a little bit ahead of California.
That is correct.
Not too far.
Now, in that vein, what kind of hope do you see for California? It seems that a lot of conservatives are leaving, many to Texas, some to other places. Have we just lost to the Democrats? Obviously, if you're working with California Family Council, you might see a whole lot more hope than I do. What could you say to be positive and affirming?
Well, listen, just go back to the Bible. What was it like when Jesus was on the earth and the apostles? What was Corinth like, right? I mean, it is not as though Christians haven't been in hostile cultures before, right?
We're just not as used to it in the United States.
We're not used to it. We've gotten soft. I've done a lot of traveling, and I used to live in Hong Kong and used to go to China all the time. And people think it's bad here in California. You don't see anything bad until you take a trip to a communist country, right, where they don't have any freedom. So the thing is, we just have to recognize it enough to wake ourselves up and realize we got to stop being passive, and we got it's Christian and loving to say something. The Christian life is about giving and loving and standing up for the truth. And when your government is starting to do things that are harmful, it is not loving to sit there and be silent about it, right? I mean, I love the book about Bonhoeffer. Have you read Bonhoeffer?
Oh, yeah, The Cost of Discipleship.
And he had this struggle, you know. I mean, Hitler was in charge 10 years before, you know, he launched the Second World War. And the church saw what was happening.
Yeah, they saw Nazism take over incrementally.
Incrementally, and the church did not stand up and oppose it. They thought they could work with them, right? He would pull away. First, he kicked all the Jews out of leadership positions in the church. And then you know, and then he started kicking them out to church altogether. And then he started doing, so it was incremental, and the church could have stopped it. They could have stood up in unison and said, we will not do this. And that's what the church today needs to do. When resolutions like this come up, if we don't stand up and say, we will not follow this, we will not follow it, and you stand up in unison, then you will send a message to the state legislators, okay, we've taken a step too far. But if we respond to this with silence, that is only going to encourage them. And so I feel like I'm a canary in the coal mine, right? And I see it coming, and I'm trying to encourage people to stand up and say something, right? Stand up and preach for the truth. Stand up for your religious liberty. Stand up for the religious freedom to speak the truth, to speak the gospel, the saving power of the gospel. We should not compromise one inch. We are going to preach salvation to everyone, and we're not going to neglect a certain part of the society saying, well, God can't change them. They're stuck in their sin. No, God, we are. No one is ever stuck in their sin. God can save and change anyone. And so we should be upset that the state is telling us to do this. If we love the gospel, we love God, and we should be very furious with our legislator that they would attempt to do this. I mean, go to Acts and look at what Apostle Peter did when the religious governmental authorities told him to stop preaching the gospel. And they arrested him. They stuck him in jail, and the angel came and rescued him. And where did he go? Where did they go right after he got rescued? He went back to the temple and started preaching again, right? I mean, talk about the boldness. They did not care, and so they were, and you know what the reaction of the leaders was? They realized these were just fishermen, but they kind of stood back and said, you know what? These guys are bold. They don't fear us. Maybe we should just leave them alone. It'll go away on its own.
Yeah, no kidding. That was pretty wise advice. To what degree do you think evangelical pastors are starting to compromise? I know that the liberal churches went off a cliff long ago, but it seems like since the Supreme Court overturned Proposition 8 and other such state laws about gay marriage, that we're starting to see some compromise in the evangelical church, which is very concerning to me.
No, I think a lot of folks think, you know, if we just could convince the LGBT folks that we are not as hateful as they think we are, then they'll come around to being okay with us. I don't, and so there's this emphasis on, let's not talk about what the Bible says about homosexuality anymore. Let's downgrade that. And we're a lot of self-censoring going on. I mean, people just aren't, pastors just aren't talking about marriage anymore, and they're not talking about gender identity, and they're not talking about all these sexual issues that are being promoted now right into kindergarten classes.
Okay, we're Greg, hold with me for one more break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house,
With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Siegel Show. I'm joined with Greg Burt of the California Family Council. Greg, we were talking before we went to the break about compromise amongst evangelical pastors.
Yes. And that, you know, I think the compromise is starting, it's kind of subtle. Where pastors are holding back what they're saying, they're not preaching the full counsel of God because they're concerned about how it will be interpreted by the audience, right? If the audience says your message is hateful, then they don't want to be thought of as hateful, so they don't teach there's anything wrong with homosexuality. They veer towards things that are less controversial, you know, and so that doesn't help people who are trapped in homosexuality.
Well, and Jesus said a lot about being pleasers of men. That was a reoccurring theme with him, of being pleasers of men rather than pleasers of God.
No, it's always a temptation, right, for everybody, right? I mean, you hold back. You don't – people – heck, we all want to be liked, right? Who it's not fun to be hated.
And there's nothing right? wrong Jesus, with using tact, but we need to eventually let people hear the truth.
No, absolutely. They need to hear the truth. Our society is starving for the truth, especially on these issues. I mean, it's a sad thing for our culture to be telling people to listen to their feelings to figure out how they should behave and who they are. That is going to cause mass depression and misery. I mean, I don't know about you, but my natural inclination, if I follow them, would lead me to depression and misery, right? It's the hope found in the words of Jesus that give you life and peace and comfort. It's not my own inclination.
Now, I almost fell out of my chair when I heard this, but I understood that the former head of the National Association of Evangelicals has gone along with part of this bill, but I guess he tried to do it in a mealy-mouthed way, and
straddle the fence. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, his name is Dr. Kevin Minoya. He is the current chaplain at Azusa Pacific University. And he did, at one point, was the leader of the National Association of Evangelicals. He had been working personally with the author, Assemblin Lowe. This is a guy who, if you talk to him personally, he'll tell you he agrees with you biblically, you know, that homosexuality, you know, is not compatible with, you know, a biblical life, and we know this, and God can change people. At the same time, he says that he's against conversion therapy. You know, he's told Sinan Lowe this. Except, you know, when we get all confused when we're not agreeing on definitions, right? There's certain parts of conversion therapy that people don't agree with. You know, you mentioned yourself you didn't agree with certain types of counseling. There are other...
I at least know Christians. I know Christians who say that they are successful results of conversion therapy, and I know others who've tried and tried and tried and it hasn't happened. So
what is conversion therapy?
Right. But we ought to be able to talk about it anyway.
You got to define your terms, because what's happening is, Sigmund Lowe talks about conversion therapy as any attempt to change feelings, behavior in any way, right? And then some pastors, well, I don't do conversion therapy because force people. It's not coercive. I don't give electroshock therapy and strange, you know, there's all kinds of strange methods that have been used in the past. And they're all lumped together in this thing called conversion therapy, which really doesn't exist. You can't go in the phone book or online and find somebody who does it. It's simply, listen, there's all kinds of ministries out there, and people have different ways. There's professional counselors.
There's psychiatrists. There's people that are just laying hands on people and praying.
Right. There's actually Christian ministries. There's a whole gamut of folks that approach it different ways. But, you know, or it's just plain Christian discipleship, right? I mean, people are trying to live according to their faith, and we're saying, hey, God's got strict rules about sexuality, and He expects you to follow them, and a pastor's preaching that to his congregation. Well, that's conversion therapy too.
Okay, so let's say this guy sincerely, this former head of the National Association of Evangelical, he sincerely doesn't believe in reparative therapy. Okay, why would he want to forbid others who do believe in it? That would be my question.
No, it doesn't make any sense, because if you read through, see, when you... He went up there and he testified in favor of this resolution. But when you do that, you are testifying for all of it.
And he's emboldening so much by doing that.
I know, and then you're being used as a tool for the other side. And so he didn't agree with all of it. He agreed with some of it, but he didn't specify. He just felt that we need to be talking to people, and we need to... have better relationships with the LGBT community. So I'm doing this because as a sign of my love for them.
Well, boy, it almost sounds like somebody preparing himself to run for some kind of political office. Well, he sounds like someone that wants to have his cake and eat it too.
That's it. It's exactly right. You're trying to make everybody happy.
And when you do that, you make nobody happy.
No, it's you can tell somebody you disagree with them and still love them. And you can do it publicly. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to be sitting down and making sure that those who identify as gay or lesbian or trans, so that we value them as individuals, and we would protect their right to even live the way they want. Right?
Yeah, right. And Greg, we've already gone on record today in this interview as saying we both view ourselves as sinners. We don't believe there's a hierarchy of sin. I'm not looking forward to any kind of discussion God's going to have with me on Judgment Day. I know Jesus paid for my sins, but he's still going to have a discussion with me on Judgment Day about the life I live. I don't look forward to that. I cringe. However, I must say, when I see Christian leaders compromise like this, and I think of that passage in James that says, let not many of you become teachers, for those who become teachers will be judged with greater strictness. I fear for the kind of special judgment they may get.
No, that's why we were really sad to see this happen, because some of them, once he did that, now he announces evangelicals have come to his side, right? Evangelicals agree with me that conversion therapy is bad. And so he goes around tweeting this and talking about this, and, you know, even if that isn't exactly what Manoia wanted, well, he just let him be used to promote, you know, shutting Christians down.
Well, and whatever whatever a person's view of conversion therapy, isn't the real message here that this is going to turn against free speech? Even a pastor who doesn't believe in conversion therapy, but is still going to tell a gay person to at least repent enough to restrain his impulse to say, well, maybe you'll always have those feelings, maybe you'll always have that orientation, but you've got to not give in to it, just like a man who's not married can't give in to sexual temptation because he's not married. But I believe it's going to be against the law for someone to even say that.
That's where this is headed. And that's what happens when, I don't think people realize this, you know, when you put gender identity and sexual orientation as a protected class, this is the result of that. See when you, and that's what we did here in California, and that's what they love to do nationally, is to have gender identity as a protected class, meaning somebody comes to you, they tell you their gender identity, and you must affirm it, or you will be discriminating against them. If you don't use their pronouns, if you don't affirm who they are, that's discriminating.
That's always been the true agenda. I remember when Prop 8 was being debated, what we kept hearing is, hey, look, this isn't going to affect the church, separation between church and state. How's it going to hurt you if a gay person gets married? I went on record on the radio and in articles saying, look, I don't agree with same-sex marriage, and I never will. However, if I really thought it was going to stop there, I would have a problem with it, but I could live with it. But it's not going to stop there. And now with Proposition 8 being overturned by the Supreme Court, it seems like the left has been emboldened, and now all of a sudden Christian bakers are told that they have to bake cakes for gay weddings. That not only goes into religious freedom, that goes into artistic freedom. Photographers are being forced to participate. So hasn't this all just been a Trojan horse to get complete affirmation and shut down our free speech completely?
No, absolutely. And now the big push is into education. They've changed how we teach social studies. It has to be affirming to LGBT heroes. Sex ed has now been completely transformed, where they got to teach all types of sexual behavior is equal, right? And you have to teach kids very early that, you know, they could be a multiple of genders. They could be two genders at once. There's a current bill up at the State House that's going to mandate that all public school teachers have LGBT training to be affirming towards LGBT identities. And that includes no longer calling the kids boys and girls. It mandates that you have to use their pronoun of preference.
Which means it's not even about equality, because you can't say male and female. So it's already not about equality. It's about these other genders being superior, because saying male and female is now wrong.
Well, every gender is now equal, right?
Yeah. So, one question I always like to ask to a man who thinks he's a woman, what are the qualities of female that you're identifying in yourself? And the minute he lists them, he's admitting that he does see a difference between a male and a female. Well, we are out of time, Greg. Thank you so much for coming on our program. We hope you'll come on again and give us updates about this.
Anytime.
Okay, my friend. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.